Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, and with me today is my special guest, Heather Rosen. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. She was on the show about a year ago, and she is an expert in franchising and has a history of helping people build and grow their businesses. She's president of FranNet of Virginia, which is part of a leading franchise advisory and development services firm with 50 offices worldwide. Heather's also an attorney who previously advised small and medium-sized businesses, including sole proprietors, on contractual matters, mergers and acquisitions, litigation strategy, corporate structure, even bankruptcy, which hopefully never comes up in her discussions with her potential clients and her clients, and even real estate acquisitions and financing. In 2001, she became in-house consultant to a large international law firm and other law firms in D.C., advising partners and firm management on strategic planning, client targeting, marketing budget allocation, and proposal writing. She left the legal services industry and has been involved with FranNet, I guess, since 2009. Is that about right?
Yep, that's right.
And tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you do it. What is FranNet? What does it do? And what do you do for them?
Sure. Well, I am part of a network of people around the country and in Canada who are sort of matchmakers for people who would like to find a good business. And my client is typically somebody who would like to go into business with as little risk as possible. So they want something that's been proven. They don't want to be the first person to try out a marketing strategy or a pricing strategy or to figure out whether something will even sell. And they want to do that through a franchise because the franchise has done it and they'll teach them how to do it. And so I sit down with people and try to figure out what can you do really well? What do you not do so well? What do you love doing? Because if you're looking for a business, you have a lot of choices. What's your budget and how much money do you need to make in year one, year two, and down the road? And we spend 5 to 6 hours before ever talking about a business because we want to figure out first who the person is and what's really going to be the best match.
So somebody who has thought about doing franchising and has already picked their franchise wouldn't be coming to you.
They might, but I might tell them, take a step back. Continue down the path if you've already started walking,
right.
But maybe take a step back and still go through this process and make sure you've really thought through all the options because the business that they're looking at might be fine for them, but they also might be able to make more money from a different business. They might also be able to get into business for less money.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'll talk to people who are interested in a food business, for example,
right.
One of the most expensive categories in franchising. And I say, hey, if you really have $500,000, $700,000 to invest in a business, would you like to maybe buy a couple of territories of a business where you could make much bigger profit margins?
Yeah, I have two clients that are franchisors in the food industry, and it's very expensive. And I've got one client who's a franchisee in the food industry. And to open up a store, you hit it right on the head. It's about $500,000, $600,000 to do it competently,
yeah,
regardless of the franchise.
Yep.
There are a whole bunch of trends going on in franchising today, and I felt that you're bringing some current and new content to the show by telling us about these trends. One of those trends is absentee ownership. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm meeting more and more people, especially in the D.C. area, who are very good at a kind of niche area, and they're finding that there are projects out there. They're doing some consulting, but the consulting isn't there's not enough out there to pay the bills.
Okay.
And so they're opening up businesses that they can run, maybe putting in 5 to 15 hours a week that provides more of an income for their household, sometimes building up to several locations of these. And they're continuing to consult. They're continuing to do what they're really good at, but now they don't have to worry about money.
In that case, what you're talking about is having somebody to come in and run the franchise
right.
for you, right?
Right. You manage the manager.
And I would think the most difficult aspect of that is finding somebody who's trustworthy, particularly if you're handling cash or any kind of, receipts.
Sure. And the franchisor sometimes helps you find that person.
Ah.
And they also often have really good systems that eliminate the the ability of somebody to steal. They'll have, you know, really good, this is the difference oftentimes between if a franchise and an independent business in the same industry,
right.
The franchise will have this great proprietary back-end system and point of sale system that monitors everything that's going on. Sometimes people, you can see them at work monitoring their stores from their computers.
Oh, wow.
I mean, in the technology age, there's a lot more that's possible.
That's really neat. Another trend that you listed for me was career reinvention. What does that entail?
Well, that entails taking something that somebody has done in one industry and transferring it to a different industry. Very difficult to do if you're trying to change jobs,
yeah.
But not as difficult to do if you're going into a business. So, for example, I work with people who have been very good at building relationships, sometimes with other businesses.
Okay.
And one of the trends that that is really hot right now in franchising is staffing businesses of different kinds.
Right.
And so oftentimes those people can do really what they've done in the corporate environment, but for a different industry, of course, for their own business,
mm-hmm.
and build very large businesses that, I mean, think about consulting businesses. That's essentially marking up the cost of somebody else's service.
Right.
That is a staffing business of
okay.
sorts. And so there are a variety of staffing businesses, very low overhead businesses, by the way, especially in comparison to food businesses, where they're essentially doing what they've done for consulting companies, but now it's in a different industry. They're placing different kinds of people.
Are you seeing any particular industries place more people than other industries today?
The lower cost franchises. And there are more and more of those too. I mean, some franchises you can open for around $50,000, maybe a home-based business.
Right.
But even within the $50,000 to $120,000 range, and these are the businesses that operate out of some sort of an office, either a home office or maybe an executive suite. There are more and more businesses like that. Franchises have been forced to think about how can we do this? How can somebody do this for less money? Because access to capital has been limited in the past several years. So a lot of the franchises are thinking about that, and there are more and more businesses that somebody could get into for less money and still make a very, very healthy profit.
Another trend that you noted is franchise diversity. What does that refer to?
Well, again, there are lots of different types of businesses. I mean, fast food is what people typically think about when they think about franchises.
Yeah.
But there are franchises in, you know, B2B, the huge...
Coaching, I've seen a lot of.
Coaching, right. A ton of businesses in the health and wellness sector. Everything from senior care to assisted living placement. Even things that are larger businesses like urgent care businesses. We haven't seen a lot of them around here.
Right.
But we are seeing a lot of urgent care centers, and I think we're going to be seeing more franchise, more national brands that are opening up as little hospitals in this area. And I've seen some of the insurance companies, too, when they put out their list of what they're going to pay for. They're listing more of these, and there's an incentive to go there versus to an emergency room.
I see. And you know, I know that another trend is trying to help veterans in all aspects of society.
Mm-hmm.
How do franchises match up with veterans?
Well, there's a program through the International Franchise Association called VetFran, and about 400, probably well over that at this point, franchises participate. They offer pretty significant discounts sometimes to veterans. In fact,
for a veteran who wants to come in and actually purchase or acquire the franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Because veterans are, well, they're very good at following a system. So they tend to be very successful franchisees.
Ah.
There's even a couple franchises that have completely waived their franchise fee for a certain number of veterans this year.
Wow.
And I actually just placed somebody in one of those. It's a staffing business.
Yeah.
This year. And that's very, very attractive. That's like a $40,000 savings.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned senior care and health care and some other, you know, franchise ideas. What are the really hot ideas, assuming that those may be two of them?
Mm-hmm.
What are the really hot franchises that people are really pursuing in this environment today?
Well, besides, you know, the wellness businesses, and I mentioned staffing, education businesses are really hot. We're very competitive in the D.C. area. We like our kids to be
smart.
Yeah, we
get
want
them
our,
into the best schools
absolutely.
Possible.
Absolutely. Even the kids in the accelerated programs are
so
getting
like
tutoring
programs.
Yep, absolutely. We're seeing commercial cleaning businesses. We look at business. We try to look for businesses that are recession resistant. We're not trying to help somebody create a market that takes a long time.
Yeah.
And so we're looking for things that businesses buy and people typically buy. I mean, we're still looking at the hair salons. This is something that is you can't outsource that. And it's a semi-absentee business. Some of these you can put in 5 hours a week and do whatever you enjoy doing and have a profitable business running on the side.
You know, I represent a very large privately owned hair salon business, and they had tried to explore the franchise opportunities in the past. It's not something of interest to them. But so you're saying that that is a hot topic for franchise.
Very simple business to run. And the people who you hire as your manager are usually people who have worked as a stylist. So
right.
They really, understand the business. They really understand the stylist. It's not that hard to find that person.
So how do you match people up with the right business? How do you find the right match? How do you play matchmaker?
Well, the whole process starts out with an assessment. We have had an assessment developed for us by a PhD psychologist out of San Diego. The first iteration of that came out about 26 years ago when we started, and it's developed since. Now it's an online assessment, and it asks a lot of questions about business ownership and career, but it also gives us an additional 9 pages of data that we talk about. And then I ask people to answer some additional critical questions as well. And then we spend a lot of time talking. I'm essentially interviewing them, and I'm writing down key things that they say in order to put together a business model that's going to be my requirements that I'm going to use and go out into the what I know about franchises, mm-hmm. and find them something that's a good fit. We also set up a strategy for them, because even knowing what I've learned from them at that point, we're testing different things, because people don't typically know if they've never looked for a business before. They might not know, for example, how many employees they really want, or they might not know whether they care whether they're working out of a home office versus an executive suite. So we test things depending on what they say, so that I'm listening to their reactions and I'm guiding them throughout the process. If they're telling me, well, I loved this, but I didn't like the fact that there are so many employees or that might be an issue, then we're changing course. We're dropping a business from the search and adding a different one on based on what they've told me.
What makes a good franchisor? Who would be a good franchisor for your person who's looking for the franchise of choice?
Well, first and foremost, somebody who's got a good track record. Experience is key. There are a lot of franchises out there that have really fun and exciting concepts. They go to the franchise shows and everyone says, wow, that sounds great. But young franchises make mistakes. And so depending on what you bring to the table, I mean, if you've been in the restaurant industry for 30 years, maybe you're okay with a younger concept. But if you're not, coming from that background, then the more experience the franchisor has, the better your chances are of succeeding. It's always good to have a franchisor that listens to franchisees. The more mature franchises are going to be more sure that their process should not be tweaked.
Right.
That's one of the things I listen for, by the way, is sometimes my clients need something that's a little bit more entrepreneurial, something that's a little bit younger, maybe allow them to have a little bit more creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the mature franchises, they should listen to franchisees and be willing to maybe test out something within a small market from time to time.
And they help out with licensing and regulation.
Yep.
And other things.
Yep. And the other thing, and I talk to people about this a lot recently, I mean, with the changes to the healthcare law and the possible increase in minimum wage, your franchisor should be keeping abreast of what's going on, possible changes ahead. You as a franchisee should be mostly focused on business development and customer service and employee management.
Mm-hmm.
Your franchisor should be looking ahead at things that are going to affect all of the franchisees. They should be involved in the International Franchise Association, which is lobbying on behalf of franchisors and the franchisees that are with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be saying, okay, if the minimum wage is increased, if we have to pay more for healthcare, how do we tweak this business model? How do we tell our franchisees how to tweak the business model? Can we raise prices? Can we maybe cut back some people to part-time status? And not a popular thing to do, but certainly some franchisors are being forced to do that. But your franchisor should be thinking about things like that.
If you had to give one tip to a franchisee in terms of finding a franchise, what would that be? One tip.
One tip would be, before you decide what you want, come and learn about what's out there. Try to find the best franchise for the money. And by the way, I do workshops locally.
How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. My website is Frannet, FRANNET.com/HRosen. And I do workshops every month, and I'm doing a franchise fair on May 15th in the D.C. area. Learn about what's out there, you know, get educated, and maybe work with somebody like me who knows a lot about the industry and can help them find something that's going to be a great fit.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth, Heather Rosen.
My pleasure.
And thanks for listening. Tune in next week when we're going to be shifting our model and becoming a little bit more inventive, having new hosts and new guests. Hey, Blueprint for Wealth is morphing into a new product, so I hope you all enjoy what you hear next week, and stay tuned for all the exciting changes that are occurring to this radio show. Thanks. Bye.